2 Timothy. Now, I'm going to read what I read last week. Y'all remember what it was? If I asked you to stand up and read my text for last Sunday, could you do it? Some of you got it wrote down in your Bible. I know that. But anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice what he says. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, how does the Satan take... Now, last week we just got into the fact of that there is a real devil. And he's a created being. He has not just an influence, but he is created being. He is real. I believe that if you would have been on Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was taken up to that mount, I believe that Satan has the ability to come out of the spiritual into the physical. I believe that you would have saw 2 men there. An angel, an angel of light. And so I believe that he, in his original being, he's a monstrosity today. Job says if you saw him, you'd faint. You couldn't stand before him. He's a dragon. He's like a dragon. And you find him showing up in Revelation chapter 12 when he's a red dragon. And so I think about people. Jesus said, what would it gain? What would you gain if he gained the whole world? What would you profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? And how do you lose your soul? How does a person lose their soul? Well, they lose the soul by losing what it was created for. And you find Jesus talking about the fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And you look at that word worm and the Greek word, and it's like a big red maggot. And it's just like a worm, a snake. He's called a serpent. In other words, you lose your soul, you reject Jesus Christ, and the second death, the first death is the separation of spirit from the body. The second death is complete separation from God Almighty, and you was created in the image of God, but you lose your soul, you're going to look like your papa, the devil, in eternity. You won't look like man. You'll look like a worm out there. You've lost everything. You're away from God. You're separated from the life of God. You're going to end up like Satan looks in eternity in the lake of fire. You don't want that. And you don't have to be that way. Why? Jesus Christ hung on that cross and he said, I'm a worm and no man. Do you realize he experienced the second death for you? And he died on that cross for your crimes and paid for them. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and have eternal life. Don't let Satan get the advantage of you if you're here and you're lost, you're not saved, you're not sure of it. Make it sure today. Trust the Lord in what he did. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I have nothing to offer to God. What can I possibly offer to the Lord that his son didn't offer for me? People try to make God happy. Well, I'll tell you how you make him happy. Believe on his son. Receive his son as your Savior. Now, we're talking about snares. First of all, I want you to see why people stay in the snare. He said there in verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, how do they get taken captive? What happens to them? Well, they oppose themselves. You all see verse 25 in meetings instructing those that oppose themselves. Turn with me to Acts and look in Acts chapter 18. Now, hang on to Timothy. We're coming back. But notice in Acts chapter 18, how does people oppose themselves? Well, notice in Acts 18, notice in verse 3, Acts 18, a reference to Paul now. And because he was of the same craft, he was a tent maker, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, they set themselves in opposition of what Paul said. How does people oppose themselves? By rejecting the truth. Paul had the message that could help them, and they opposed themselves by rejecting the truth. And so the first thing about this, looking back at it, he said, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, you show them the truth in hopes that they're going to change their mind about the thing and repent and acknowledge the truth that they may recover themselves out of the snare. People are in a snare. Okay, what's the snare? It's got to be religion, false doctrine. Look in the context. Turn back in verse 15. In verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now, them vain babblings and profane and vain babblings is preaching. It's false doctrine. It's not rightly dividing the word of truth. How do I know that? Verse 17. And their word, their vain babbling, and profane babbling. Verse 17. And their word will eat as doeth a canker. It's like a gangrene. It's like it just keeps eating away and growing and spreading. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, Paul said. It's growing. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrowed the faith of some. They didn't deny the resurrection. They didn't say that there would never be a resurrection. What did they do? They misplaced it. They said it already passed, and it overthrew the faith of some. Come on down with me, verse 20. Let's just read 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal of ownership. Why? It overthrowed the faith of some. Nevertheless, even though they're in false doctrine, even though that many of them believe what Hymenaeus and them was preaching about the resurrection, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and every one that nameth the name of Christ is taught the heart from iniquity. The iniquity is false doctrine. It's ungodliness. What I'm telling you today is what's being preached across the world today when the Word of God's not rightly divided, and it's false doctrine, it's iniquity, it's ungodly. And people think they're godly. I mean, you talk to these people and they talk about, well, I live without sin. That right there tells you that's an ungodly person right there. Isn't that amazing? I'm just going down through here and looking at the context, folks. I'm not making this stuff up. This world is ungodly. Do you not realize? And yet there's a church on every corner. People don't. And he said, let everyone depart from iniquity. But in a great house. Well, I know what that house is, don't you? That's the house of the Lord. I said to others, people talking about the house. We're not talking about this building here. This building's not the house of the Lord. The Lord don't have, this ain't His house. Whenever we all go, the last person leaves here, the Lord's not sitting down on a pew somewhere resting the next Sunday in His house, staying warm. He's not in here. This building is not the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord's the body of Christ. I'm in the house of the Lord, bless your heart. I don't go to the house of the Lord. I get up every morning in the house of the Lord. Well, if I hang on to Timothy, come over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what he says there in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, talking to these Gentiles, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together in that temple for a habitation of God through the Spirit. He's not talking about some physical building. He's talking about spiritual building. He's talking about the house the Lord's building today. What is that house the Lord's building today? What is the house of the Lord? It's the body of Christ. And I'll tell you, the material he's using in there is not good people. He's using the low-down scum of the earth. Do you understand? He's using sinners, saving them by grace, putting them on display in His house, in a great house. Look what he said in verse 20 back in Timothy. Man, you know, you could preach for a year just on this. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. I'll tell you one that's not. My grandma. Grandma Sipes. Now, Joni was... Where is Joni? If she was here, she could tell you about it. But my grandma Sides, I remember going over there, and they had a jar. Now, they didn't have indoor plumbing when I was a little boy. They used what they called outhouses. You know what an outhouse is? And, folks, you'd have to go outside. Well, if you spent the night with Grandma Sides, she'd take you in there, and she'd say, now, listen, if you got to go, here's the jar. Now, I'll tell you, that jar set up under the bed, that was not a vessel of honor. You might have thought it was if you had to go, but I'm just illustrating. There are vessels that's not vessels of honor. You know who's the vessels of dishonor in this great house of the Lord? That's people that do not rightly divide this Bible. They won't acknowledge the truth. They oppose the truth. Now look what he says. He says, if a man therefore purge himself, verse 21, from these. Purge himself from these, what? Well, the context has to do with false doctrine. He said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel under honor, sanctified meat for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. They don't have no hidden motives in fight. They're not got some hidden motive of why they're doing what they're doing. They're calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. They rightly divide the word of truth. They study and they want the real truth and the real doctrine. And they believe the word of God. I've heard people say, oh boy, if I knew the truth, I'd preach the truth. And you show them the truth and they reject the truth and say that's your interpretation. That's not a pure heart. There's always a hidden motive in mind. So, well, I don't know. Well, you will before I get done. I got to move on. He said, look what he said. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Well, we done saw what opposing himself, it means to put and be in opposition of the truth, reject the truth. There are members of the body of Christ that oppose himself by rejecting the message of grace and rightly dividing the word of truth. They oppose himself and they're not going to be a vessel of honor. And yet the men might hold them as a vessel of honor. The men might be in all of them and in their greatness. And the world might think they're great, but in God's sight, they're not vessels of honor. They're ungodly and they're in the body of Christ. Isn't that something? Well, let's just look on. Notice what he said, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Now I want you to notice something about this. Turn with me and look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, why does men stay in the snare? Well, I'll tell you why. There are two motives in mind. But notice what he said. In chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, notice what he said. He's talking about the bishops now. Verse 6. This principle here in verse 6, it's for everybody. Not a novice. That would be a beginner. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Now the condemnation, you remember I read in Ezekiel 28 about him, and in Isaiah 14, he will said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will be like the Most High. And he said, Ezekiel 28, because of thy beauty and thy wisdom, pride got in him. He was a proud man. And that was the downfall of him. That was the condemnation. Was pride. And Paul said, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And so people today have pride in their heart. They're proud people. I want you to know pride is the condemnation of the devil. Don't you understand? And people stay in the system. They won't rightly divide the truth because they got too much pride about them to admit they were wrong. I've had people say, well, if you're right, then why don't Dr. Snow and so do this and do that and... Well, it ain't got nothing to do with whether I believe like Dr. So-and-so. It has to do with what this book says. Pride. I had to swallow my pride one day. I come to the crossroads, or I was going to believe this Bible, or I was going to believe a denominational system. Folks, it ain't got nothing to do with what the religions of the world says. It's what this Bible's got to say. And people stay in the snare because they got too much pride to admit that they've been caught in a snare. They want that. But that ain't all. Look down in verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Or the reproach is the reproach. He has to have a good report of them that are out. In other words, if he gets out here and he's got a bad reputation of all this and everything, that's going to be a reproach against him. The snare is public opinion. He ain't going to carry no weight with people. He's not. It'd be like going into a honky-tonk in a bar and setting up there and ordering you a shot of liquor or Jack Daniels or a beer and look over there at the one sitting beside of you and said, do you know, have you ever been saved? Why, you chugging down a beer. Do you think that'd have any impact on that guy sitting beside you? Y'all just missed what I just said completely, didn't you? There's not going to be no, if you sitting there, folks, you can't have a testimony and do like the, live like the devil and expect the people that's living lost to have any, you can't have an influence on them. That's what he said. Have a good report of them now that they can't finger you for nothing. They can't run you down for nothing. You live a clean life, a good moral life. You're saved. You got a good testimony. And folks, you do that so that you can have power and the gospel means something. I think I'm going to plow right here for a while. I mean, your lives does matter. Your testimony does matter. Well, you can't expect to win people to the Lord getting down in the same mud holes with them and roaring with them and then saying, look, I'm a Christian. Why? They don't understand that. It's not that God Almighty's going to whoop you, kill you, or knock you in the head, but it's your influence on people, and it's a stumbling block. And Paul said, don't use your liberty for the occasion of the flesh. And don't let your liberty be a stumbling block to other people. That's what he's talking about. Lest you fall into reproach in the snare of the devil, the public opinion. Now, there are two motives why people stay in the snare. Number one, they've got pride in their heart. They won't admit that they've been wrong. Number two, they're scared of public opinion. They're afraid of what somebody's going to say about them. And Paul said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what the godly there is? It's not drinking, smoking, playing cards, or dancing. It's doctrine. It's what you believe in this Bible. Now, I want you to look at some things quickly with me. Notice what he says about these. There are two things. Turn with me and let's go to Acts. Look in Acts chapter 13. I want you to see the religion and what religion does to this world. In Acts chapter 13, I want you to see... No, go to Acts 8 first. Acts chapter 8. Notice what in Acts chapter 8... Notice in verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Well, why did they say that he was using sorcery? Now, the word sorcery there, the Greek word is pharmakeia, and it means drugs, and we covered a little bit this last week. But it's not the drugs as medicine, it's drugs that alter the thinking of process of man. And it's a drug like, I told you about like somebody talking in the 60s, LSD, and going on a trip and all this stuff. And that's the drugs that they're, it's the same. Do you realize people that are in false doctrine today are drugged up by that doctrine? And they live in illusion of their God. Jeremiah put it, they serve him out of the imaginations of their own hearts. You say, how? Well, that's what this guy did, verse 9, which before time the same used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Verse 11, to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Now the word bewitched, it's a reference to witchcraft. And then witchcraft in Galatians 5:20 is an act of the flesh. Let me give you the word of bewitching. It means to slander. To bring evil on a person by false praise, mislead somebody, charms them. In other words, they want your eyes upon them instead of the Lord. They give themselves out as a great one, or they want men to look upon them. That's bewitching people. It's to slander the Lord in a way that they preach another Jesus, but the way that they preach him brings about a slander to him. And that bewitches the people, and people stand in awe of them and say, oh, what a great preacher, what a great man, what a great orator this man is, and he's a great man of God. In other words, they preach sermons like how to be a better you. You ever heard that? No. It has to do with pride. Notice what happens to this fella. Verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Isn't that something? He wanted to buy it. Give me also this power that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And old Peter rebukes him. Turn with me and look in Acts. Let's try it again. You'll see this. Look over in Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. It'll be in the future. And boy, we're seeing it today. It has to do with deceiving people. It has to do with religion. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. Revelation 9:20. And it has to do with deceiving people, means of deception. Notice what he said in verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Well, you know, they're worshiping devils in these religions and these idols. And the great religion is Baal worship. And y'all know what Baal worship is today. Notice what he said in verse 21, neither repented they of their murders and nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Well, let's see something about them sorceries and fornications. It's deception. Turn to 18, chapter 18. in Revelation chapter 18, in verse 23, "And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." And the world's being deceived today by a bunch of sorcerers. And they're preaching. And they're teaching. And they're causing men to be drunk. And men today are committing fornication through their religion. You want to see it? Turn back with me and let's look in chapter 17. In chapter 17, verse 2. Let's go read verse 1. "And there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." And so you see, they takes them in the spirit. Look back in Revelation chapter 2. The inhabitants of the earth are made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Look in this, a woman in Revelation chapter 2, in verse 20, a message to the angel of church in Thyatira. Verse 20, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into the bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." This is Jezebel, the woman. Look back in verse 13 of chapter 2, verse 13. "And I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seed is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." So he dwells somewhere in the tree about there in the future. He's going to be on the earth. "Behold, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat sacrifice unto idols and to commit fornication." Well, now Jezebel was a woman. She was a prophetess, but she was a daughter of Ethbaal. Turn with me back and look with me to 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16. In 1 Kings 16, and notice this woman. All right, 1 Kings, notice in verse 29, and in the 30th, and verse 29, "And in the 30th and 8th year of Asa, the king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar unto Baal in the house of Baal." And there's your house of God. It is a literal house. "Which he had built in Samaria, And so you find the Jezebel, it actually means living for Baal. She's the daughter of Ethbaal, the house of the Lord. And this religion, you'll go to Judges, and I don't have time to run it down, but the head priest, they called the priest father, and they wore long robes, and they bowed down to him and kissed the ring, and they had synagogues that they called the house of the Lord. And folks, this mother, this whore, has children. She's the mother of harlots. And the religion, it's the religion, the spiritual religion of Babylon. And Nimrod was the first king in Babylon, and he was a type of the Antichrist, and he established this religion, and that's where Satan's seat is on this earth. That's where his synagogue is on this earth, and in the tribulation, it's really going to get on with it. And the people today are drunk in the wine of her fornication. Give you an example. You ever heard of a vestibule? What has vestibules in? Come on, a little light from the class. Why would you have, you'd have it for vestments, wouldn't you? Have you ever walked in the house of the Lord and they say you're in the vestibule? You ever seen, you know what the steeple is on the churches? It's the horn. On and on the thing goes. They have an altar in them. Folks, this ain't no altar up here. The altar's where the sacrifice is. You want to know where God's altar is today? It was at the cross. That's where the sacrifice is made, at the cross. It's no altar up here. God ain't going to save you if you walk up here. God can save you where you're sitting right now if you'll trust His Son. People say, well, you don't give an invitation. I give an invitation every Sunday that I preach. I invite people to trust Christ as their Savior every Sunday. How many? Now, you know that if you come here. I've given, you got an invitation all while I'm preaching to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I give more, a longer invitation than anybody I know. Ever how long I preach, you got an invitation to trust Christ as your Savior. We just don't get up here and have you to walk the aisle because I'm not interested in counting you. I'm interested in getting you saved. Baal worship. You think about it. People are in a snare. They use sorcery. Now sorcery is magic. It's enchantment. Witchcraft, divination, by the assistance or supposed assistance of evil spirits, or the power of commanding evil spirits. Sorcery. You want to see the modern day sorceries? Turn with me back in Timothy again. And notice in chapter 4, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit. You see that capital S? That's the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and what? What makes them depart from the faith? They give heed, don't they? Well, where in the world are they hearing any demoniacs preaching and devils preaching to them? Well, let's don't stop there. Turn back to 2 Corinthians. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse, he's talking to the Corinthian church, verse 2, "For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." He's not talking about the, he's talking to the Corinthians now. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he," it's got to be a he, then it's a man, isn't it? "For if he cometh, preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received," notice that another spirit's a little s, "which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." In other words, bear it, don't give heed to it. Verse 13, "For such that preach another Jesus, offer another spirit, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers," underline his ministers. Does Satan have ministers? He sure does. "If his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." They preach righteousness. They preach, oh yeah, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ plus. Keep the commandments. You ever heard that? Oh yeah, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ plus be baptized for salvation. Oh, yeah, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but plus good works. You got to live it. If you don't live it, then you must not have it. And on, you know what that does? That slanders the Lord and the finished work. Paul said we're complete in him, which is the head of all principle. We are complete in Christ. We have been baptized into the body of Christ. There by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And by that baptism we are identified with Christ in Christ. Bless your heart, we are in him today. We are complete in him. And there's nothing physical that I need to do to make me any more completer. If completer is a word. Do y'all understand? These ministers in subtle ways, they don't get up and tell you that they preach this, but they add to it. Or they take away. That's why it's so subtle. That's why it's slick, it's sly. He's a cunning man. He's out to the sea, and they bewitch people, and these people oppose themselves by believing this and giving heed to it, and then they oppose the truth. And they're in the snare. Now, quickly, I want to give you three things. I'm not even going to elaborate on them. One, they seek to turn away people from the truth. In Acts 13, verse 8, you'll find a man, Bar-Jesus, whom Paul blinded, and he sought to turn the deputy from the truth. These people might be saved. These ministers could be in the body of Christ, but they're not vessels of honor. And in their ignorance and not believing the truth are turning people from the truth and keeping them from coming to the knowledge of the truth. And it could be because of their pride. It could be because of public opinion. And the third thing, it could be because of money. They follow the work of Balaam. They run greedily after Balaam, who for the love of money deceived people. He wanted that money. Second thing, they corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. I then read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Folks, the most simple thing in this world is for a person to be saved. And yet religion makes it hard. Third thing, they resist the truth. 2 Timothy 3, verse 7 through 8. They resist the truth. As Moses and Jammer withstood, so do these. We resist the truth. They will not accept it. They buck up against it. Those that are in the snare not only resist the truth, but they lead people to depart from the faith by preaching, and they depart from it. Folks, the body of Christ is in a mess today. Reason, people won't rightly divide the word of truth. Thank God for one day the Lord showed us the truth. I don't have anything here for anybody to join. We're not here to try to build a big organization so we could pay parking lots and have a fancy building. But we do have the Word of God. My goal is to rightly divide the Word of truth. Thank God that one day somebody showed me the truth. And there's somebody out there that you could show the truth. I tell you what, shake hands with one another and